take your Bible and turn to the book of Luke, if you will. Luke chapter 10. We're going to look in verses 38 through 42 in a moment. Luke chapter 10. When we think of the issue tonight of focus in your life. Focus. It is impossible to be victorious in your Christian life if you do not have focus. If you are not focusing on the appropriate things. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, we read these words. And Jesus and his disciples were on their way, and he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's pray. Father, help us as we read your word. Make it real to us. Help us to understand what you want each person to hear from your scripture tonight. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Sometimes it doesn't matter how hard we try. It just seems impossible to focus on things that we really want to focus on. Our time distracts us. Our life distracts us. Our family distracts us. On those things that are most important. And it pulls our focus away from what the Lord would have us to pay attention to. In 1990, a woman entered into Haas Doggins ice cream store in Kansas City to order an ice cream cone. When she went in, there was another customer who entered the store right behind her. She turned around in line, like any of us would do, to look and see who was behind her. And behind her was Paul Newman. And she was starstruck. And so, you know, how, you know, giggling and what you do. And so, you know, it made her knees buckle because he was one of her favorite stars. And she quickly, you know, got embarrassed and ran out of the store and got out to her car. And all of a sudden she was looking for her ice cream cone. And so she sheepishly went back in to get it. And Paul Newman was coming out and he said, "You looking for your ice cream cone?" She said, "Yes." "You put it in your purse with your change when you left the store." I think sometimes we lose focus, don't we? Things distract us. Life distracts us. Again, family and health and bills and the weather distracts us. I think we need to look at the importance of focus in this story. Where we need to be looking. I want you to take your hand for a minute and just hold it up. Hold your hand up. Everybody hold your hand up. Okay, and I want you to put it, here I am. See me? Okay. Put it where your hand's right in front of one eye and I'm in front of the other. Okay, try to look at both of them at the same time. You can't. You can focus on your hand or you can focus on me, but you can't focus on the two things at the same time. If you can, you need to see a doctor. Something's wrong with your eyes. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. We cannot. It's fuzzy. One is fuzzy or the other. Either I'm fuzzy or your hand is fuzzy. We can only focus on one thing at a time, one distance at a time. Focus can be our best friend or our enemy. I tried to use the glasses that are circular. What's that called? I'm trying to think of the name of the glass, what it is.
Kaleidoscope.
What?
Kaleidoscope.
Kaleidoscope, guys. No. I'm the reading glasses. Huh? I'll just keep calling out till I get the one I want. I forgot what I'm looking for. But anyway, it's the kind of glass where it's one vision and you can look through it, but you have to look straight ahead to let it see, but you can't really look outside. Progressive lenses, thank you. I'm sorry. Forgive me, I just forgot what it was. Teresa can wear progressive lenses. I can't. I've tried to wear progressive lenses. I've gone to the doctor. I've bought the glasses. I've worn them. You know, you're supposed to adapt and get used to them. But the idea is you're supposed to turn your head the direction that you want to look as opposed to look out of the corner of your eye. That's initially how those things were designed. The problem I had was that I was a police officer, and the end of my gun where I had to focus would not let me do that. And so it was not reasonable for me to have progressive lenses because I could not focus at the end of that gun to see where the end of it should be going. That's problematic. When I was in the car, I needed to be able to drive and look out of the corner of my eye to see what was behind me or around me. I could not do that. It just never worked for me because I don't want to be going 120 miles an hour and go like this. That's usually not a great idea, you know, because if you don't know this, when you turn your head, you tend to steer the direction you're going. That's pretty much what they taught us. So I've tried that. My eyes would never focus for that. So I got the multi-layer lenses, you know. So I don't care if it's bifocal or trifocal. If they made five of them, I would probably buy it. If I could just see what I want to see when I want to see it. We need to be able to focus. It is either our enemy or it is our friend, depending on what we need it for. It matters where your heart focuses, doesn't it? It matters where your heart focuses. It matters to your soul. It matters to your mind. I think we need to stay intensely focused on what God reveals to us in His Word. Everybody in this story is focusing on something. When you read through the story, somebody is paying attention to one thing or the other. Some people are paying attention to Jesus, some are his story, some are inside the kitchen, some are probably looking at the other people in the audience, seeing what they're doing. They're focusing on different things. When you read Matthew 14:22, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed the crowd, he went up to the mountainside to pray. While evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind that was against it. You go on to read the story. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Verse 26, and Matthew says, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, come to tell me to come on to the water with you. Come, he said, and Peter got down on the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And he began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then he said, then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Focus. Where was he looking? What was he looking at? What did they see? First, they were looking at Jesus, but then Peter gets out on the water, and his focus begins to change, doesn't it? It's important where your heart is focused. I think when we look at this, I want to share some things with you. First of all, the focus of Jesus, the focus of Jesus. When I look at the focus of Jesus, what was he focused on? The Father. I've come to do my Father's business. He said that from the time he was a child, didn't he? I must be about my Father's work. And everything, the power I gave came where? From the Father. I've come to preach the message of the Father. The Father hath sent me. Everything Jesus did focused on the Father. Jesus sends his disciples away in the one story with Peter so that he can focus on one thing. He didn't need the distractions of the disciples or the crowds. He needed to focus on his relationship with the Father. He just wanted to be alone to focus. People needed to be dismissed because their focus was wrong. What were they focused on? Well, if you know the story in the New Testament, it's on food. You know, one you get fed and they see Jesus going across in a boat and they run around the lake to get to the other side and hope they'll feed him a second time that day. Their focus was on food. Jesus was trying to squelch the negative atmosphere that was around him. People were grabbing him. You know the stories of how he walks through a crowd and the woman of issue, you know, reaches out just to grab him and he said, "Who touched me?" You know, everybody was reaching out after Jesus. He could not, at certain times, focus on his relationship with the Father. Do you think that maybe things in this world distract you like they did Jesus? I mean, I got a phone. I've turned it off for the worship service. I've got a phone that is a great distraction, isn't it? Oh my gosh, you know. I've gotten better, you know, over the years, but still, it's a distraction. It's a tool, but it can be a distraction. Television can be a distraction. A newspaper can be a distraction. A book can be a distraction. Family can be a distraction. We need to be able to be focused and squelch the negative atmosphere. I don't have to be mean to people, but maybe I just need to slip out sometimes and get away to focus on my relationship with the Father. Jesus needed to be alone. The whole reason that he came to this place in the story with Peter was to be alone, to pray. It took him back to his Father and what his Father wanted him to do. I think he needed time to renew himself, to charge his batteries. And maybe he had poured all of himself out to help people, and he needed to be filled back up to be usable for God. Jesus got tired. Jesus got hungry. Jesus got sleepy. Why would he not feel empty sometimes because of emotional draw on him? He needed to pull away and let God fill him up again. I need no less. The pressures of the world that you and I deal with today and the things, you know, the issues that our families throw at us or the world throws at us or work throw at us can drain us dry, can't they? And then there are just some people who just are sponges. They just suck the life out of you, don't they? You see them on the telephone and you go, "Oh man, do I really want to talk to this person? Because I'm going to be on here forever and I just, oh my gosh, maybe I'm not here." We feel like that sometimes, don't we? We need to focus. You look at Jesus in the story. He was able to heal. He fed the 5,000. He walked on the water. And yet he needed to get aside and focus on his relationship with the Father. You know, he was dealing with the disciples in one event. And he came down. And he said, this one, they couldn't, you know, throw out a demon. And he said, this one doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. Focus. Those are what those two things do to a person. They focus them on what's important. The disciples. What was the focus of the disciples? I think, and I look in that second story, and I see that the disciples focused on fear, didn't they? They got in the boat, the stuff started to churn up, and they got really excited over the fact that they were going to drown. And I can understand that. They focused on fear. You ever focus on fear? Health-wise, financial-wise, family-wise, just watch the television-wise, and we can focus on the fear that is around us. Fear had set in. The disciples were battling that major storm, and they were, yes, they were in great danger. They'd been in the boat. Maybe they'd been in the boat 6 or 8 hours, who knows, and they had made zero progress. And now they were discouraged. They were disgusted, they were disheartened, and they were disappointed because of where they were and where they could not get. They were focusing on what? The problems. Well, what were some of the problems? Well, the waves, the lightning, death, the wind. There were a lot of things to be able to focus on. And yet, they had been with Jesus. They had seen him do miraculous things. Did they think that he would not care? He even asks them that at one point. You think I don't, They had witnessed miracles. They should have been focused on Jesus and his ability. What they focused on was Jesus and him not being there, they thought. And yet he was walking out to them, wasn't he? He was on his way to them before they ever saw he was there. He was walking on his way to save them before they realized that Jesus was even nearby. They became disheartened. I am not going to tell you that focus will necessarily change your circumstances. It was still raining, it was still lightning, it was still windy, but it will change your heart in the midst of the circumstances. It could change the way that you focus on the circumstances. It will change the way that you face life if you look at the right things. The problems, the storm, sinking. No, if they had focused only on Jesus, they would have been able to handle what was happening to them. Third, the focus of Peter in the second story. You have Peter, and his focus was on a sense of faith at first. Ask me to step out on the water. If it's really you, ask me to step out on the water. He was exhibiting some faith in Jesus, that there was the possibility of doing something miraculous, the victory of walking out to Jesus while he was on the water, the possibility of the ability of Jesus to do in him what he saw Jesus doing. Well, I'd like to do some of the things Jesus did. I wish I could walk into a hospital room and walk to the children's ward and lay my hands on some kids and heal them of leukemia or whatever. I don't have that ability, that gift that's not given to me. The disciples are focused on the waves and the wind and the problem, and Peter focuses on Jesus walking on the water. If it's you, call me out. What happened? Peter walked on the water, didn't he? Their focus was on the storm. Peter's focus was on Jesus, and it changed him, didn't it? What do you focus on? What did you focus on all week? What problem or circumstance did you wrestle with all week where your focus might have been in the wrong place instead of on Jesus? Peter believed that with the help of Jesus, he could do the impossible. Some say Peter went out on a limb. Why not? Why not believe Jesus can do something? Didn't he say, ask, seek, and knock? See if I won't? Didn't he challenge us to come to him with things that needed to be handled? So Peter walks on the water. I don't know if his feet were above the surface or on the surface, or if he sank down a little bit while he walked. I don't know. It doesn't say that. All I know is he walked on the water. Peter did something that I don't know of any other human being has been able to do other than Jesus. He, though, got lost in the moment, didn't he? And in the moment, he focused on another possibility. What was that? He could drown. Even in the midst of that great miracle that God had done something wondrous in his life, he began to focus on the water instead of Jesus, and he began to sink. He lost his focus. He took his eyes off Christ, and he lost his focus. Peter put his focus on the circumstance instead of the Savior. Not on Jesus, not on victory, not on the possibility, but on the problem on the water. I've known some people over the years who focused on the problem. I had one lady who we went to church with that determined that she had cancer. She determined she had cancer. Doctor didn't determine it, she did. She felt she had cancer. And so she went to the doctor and she said, I've got cancer. And he says, well, what makes you think that? I just feel I do. And she said, let's test. And so they did blood tests, they did x-rays, they did CAT scans, nothing. There was nothing. This went on for a couple of years where she just kept going back to the doctor and was certain that she had cancer. And they kept telling her she didn't have it. But in her mind, she had it. Guess what happened? She got it. Eventually, she got it. Was it premonition? No. I think it was her telling her body she had it. Her focus was on what she feared. I can go back through the Bible stories, the Old Testament and New Testament, and I can see the victories, and I can focus on those, or I can focus on the defeats like Adam and Eve, how they blew it. Or I can look in the New Testament and see the Apostle Paul, where he met every challenge, and he can say, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Where's my focus? Where is our focus? You look at the first story, and you look at the people involved in that. What was Martha's issue? She was focused on the wrong thing. Her preoccupation with serving distracted her from what was most important, Jesus. I mean, they were throwing a party for Jesus, right? It was supposed to be for him that they were doing this, and yet she got so distracted because of being involved in serving, she forgot what was important, Jesus. I've been in church virtually all my life. I think I was on the cradle roll, so maybe it was before my life. You know, they used to have that where you'd sign up for cradle roll before you were born. And, you know, so I've been a church member, you know, before I was born. I have seen people in church get so distracted by serving that they forgot who they were serving. Can you get an amen on that? That they forgot they were serving Jesus and got so torn up about colors of carpet or places that rooms were going to be for Sunday school classes, or how loud the kids were getting over in the other building, you know, having fun because they were there. You know, did we forget why we were here? She focused on the wrong thing. Therefore, she got depressed. She goes to Jesus and makes a big deal out of it, right? She just blows up. Don't you feel sorry for me, Jesus? Don't you care? And then she got disapproving. Wouldn't you tell her to do something? She points at her sister. She loses her focus on Jesus. She internalizes it and becomes discouraged. And then she becomes disapproving of the people around her, specifically her sister, who's not doing what she thinks she ought to do. And by the way, who made her God in her sister's life, right? Jesus is right there. I think if Jesus wanted her to be worried about it, he might tell her, amen? But he didn't. Later he told her it was the most important thing is what she was doing. And then she becomes demanding. We look at her and she tells the Lord what he needs to do. You ever do that? Fess up. God, let me tell you what you need to do. You may not have said it just exactly like that, but I'm sure you've suggested to God some things need to change in your life or in somebody else's life. God, this is just, you know, he's still God and you're still you. But Martha got so upset and lost her focus and got wrapped up in the circumstances. And every time you look at the waves or you look at other people instead of Jesus, you sink either in the water or you sink inside here. You can't. You have to focus. Why is it that a medium powered laser can cut through metal in a matter of seconds, but the world's most powerful spotlight only makes the metal warm. Why? Focus. How that beam is focused to either a tight light or a wide beam. They're both light. But the way that the light is focused and the optics through which they're focused changed their ability to do a job. Science tells us all about photons. Photons move along. They come in contact with molecules. They prompt them to release other photons. These photons seem to move somewhere else and affect other things. And that light does something. They even tell us now that they're trying to do certain kinds of, instead of X-ray machines, light ray machines that can look through you because the photons move around. The light molecules can bounce around and see what's inside you. Wow. But it's not radiation. It's light. I'd like to see that happen. The scriptures identify, I think, for us, a priority. Focus. The question is, what will you focus on this week? Tomorrow's a holiday. Some people are going to focus on that holiday tomorrow. Fine. Tomorrow, some people will focus on their family. Nothing wrong focusing on your family. Your family needs your attention, don't they? Some people will focus on their job. I'm sure your boss will be happy if you focus on your job tomorrow. They'll be very pleased about that. Some people who are going to school will focus on that process. Nothing wrong with that. But if it becomes the singular focus for our life, or if the problems of our life draw us away, then we will be like the lady who saw Paul Newman. We're going to get confused and do some funny things because our focus is not where it needs to be. Pray tonight that God will give you a singular focus this week on His will and what He wants to accomplish in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You and ask for focus. We see these two stories in the Bible, and they both revolve around focus. Help us, Father, to see like You see. Put on Your glasses and see the world the way You see it, and not look at what we get tied up in, the circumstances. Help change the way that we look at things this week. Let us not be distracted by the circumstances that cause problems in our life, but look to You as the solution to those problems. Remind us that Jesus was walking out to the disciples before they even realized the answer to their problem was coming. Help us to have patience as we focus this week on You and what You want in our lives. We pray in Jesus' most holy name, amen. God bless you. May you have a wonderful week.